And we've been kind of breaking down Revelation to a point. What those on earth do not see, but will be in heaven, therefore we see it. And also what those of earth do see. So before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Most kind and gracious Lord, ask you to open our hearts and minds to your word. Give us discernment. Lord, help me as I bring the message. Hide me behind that cross. It is not about me. It's about Jesus. And we thank you in his name. Amen. One of these days, I'm going to get rid of this cough probably when I go to heaven. I've had it ever since COVID came out. So anyway. Can't seem to get rid of it. Let me do a recap. We're basically at the halfway of the 7 years. So we're about the 3.5 year mark. And now, we went through most of Revelation 7. So what people in heaven are going to be seeing, let me give you the... The Antichrist has basically set himself up. That's the midway point. And the second, what would you call it, supernatural warning has come. The sun and the moon, they've kind of changed things. We'll get into that later. So in chapter 7, verse 13... It says, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" Now, what we need to understand is in that first 3.5 years, there's a lot of Christians will die. And that's basically what this is talking about. And it's not going to be the place to be. You don't want to be here. You really don't want anybody here. Because it's not going to be a good place. They just think they've seen evil. But not really. Now, basically he explains that in 13 through 17. Now, chapter 8, the seventh seal. The seven trumpets come out of the seventh seal. So he says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." Now, my wife says, "Don't say it," so maybe I won't. Now, we've got to have a little humor. There's no women in heaven at this time. No possible way they could be silent that long. No. Seriousness of that verse, though, and I've heard that since I was a kid. My father-in-law used to say that, you know, the women ain't going to be in the first, on that part of the rapture, because there's silence up there. And I'm like, so anyway, but the seriousness of it was, what was about to happen. He says, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." Now, it's the seriousness of about what is about to take place on earth, but these people in heaven are seeing this. Now, verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all grass was burnt up. Now, think about that. A third of the earth's forest and the grass is going to be burned up. That's going to cause unreal global famine. Now, this is going into the second half of the tribulation period. That's going to cause an unreal famine. Cows are not going to be able to eat. Livestock. Wild animals are not going to be able to eat. And this is going to be worldwide, already adding to all of the things that we went over that's happening during the first part of the tribulation. Because there's already famines, and there's already some wars, rumors of wars. There's already been earthquakes. It's going to be a sad situation. Now, look at verse 8. The second angel sounded, and it was, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Now, when you look at that, the sea is going to be turned to blood. It's going to, and the fish that are in there, whales, all of these things, they're going to die. It's going to be a pretty bad stench, I would say. Which a lot of people eat the fish from the ocean. So there's adding to more of the famine. Now, verse 9, it talks about, well, basically this mountain, I'm kind of picturing this as probably like a meteorite, a giant meteorite coming down and landing in the ocean. I mean, I don't see a mountain going. I'm thinking maybe John, and it's gemology, but so take it or leave it. But I'm thinking it's meteorites falling. And there's going to be one big enough that it causes this issue. You're talking about poisonous gases are going to be released. But verse 9 says, and even the ships are going to have problems. Where'd that go? Yeah, verse 9, it said a third part of the ships were destroyed. All of these ships are out there. What happens when you have a catastrophic thing happen in the ocean like earthquakes? You get tsunamis. So there's going to be tsunamis all over the world. I would say it'll affect the Atlantic Ocean. It'll affect the Pacific Ocean, the Gulf of Mexico. It'll be a unreal event. And it's going to cause problems. Now, that's not only going to cause those ships, but what are those ships doing? They're bringing food either here or taking it somewhere else. They're bringing products here or taking them somewhere else. So that's going to be a major upset of a lot of things are going to take place. Now, verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were bitter. Now, I'm kind of figuring, again, some type of meteor, star, whatever. When it comes through, the atmosphere is going to bust up, but it's going to land in all these rivers and all our fresh water, and there's not going to be any. It's going to be a real problem. To affect all the rivers like that, it's going to have to bust up and spread out. And it could be full of lots of poisonous gases again. It's hard to say how that'll take place. The Lord's doing it. He's causing all of these issues because, remember, in the first 3.5 years, mainly the problems that they're having are man-made problems. But God steps in the last half, because the last half is the worst part, and that's, he calls that the Great Tribulation in the Bible. That's the greatest part of it, and it's against Israel. Don't forget, when it says Jacob's troubles, that's what it's talking about. But it's going to cause worldwide problems, catastrophes, worldwide famine. All of these things is going to be God's way of judging the Israelites and the nations as well. Now, verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Now, I want you to stop there. Hang on to Revelation. Go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 21 and 22. This could be the answer why it's this way. 24, 21, and 22. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be, and except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But the elect's sake, those days be shortened. For the people that have trusted God, for the Israelites, those days are shortened, because now if we jump back real quick to what's happening on earth during all this time, we read about part of it, global famine. There's going to be a third of the earth is going to be scorched. There's going to be stars and meteorites and what have you falling. Can you imagine walking along and pieces of this stuff? I mean, you know, there's a big chance it's going to hit somebody. You ever seen cattle, southeast Colorado or southwestern Kansas? They got one eye. I can tell you why. It's called hailstorms. Big hunks of hail will come down and nail you. I've been in some hailstorms when I lived in that part of the country. Been out on horseback and get caught in a hailstorm. It ain't no fun. I can't even imagine the size of some of this stuff that's going to come. It's going to be a dreadful time. So here on earth, the abomination, and a lot of this is all kind of happening. It's all as it goes along, as simultaneously. Let me ask you a question, or think about it. How fast is everything moving today? Man, it's happening quick. You know, let me see. 2016, 17, 18, 19, we're cruising along doing whatever we want to do, and boom. Stay home, you can't go nowhere, no planes are going to fly, and you got to wear a mask. I won't get into that. But all of that happened really quick. It moved very fast. They didn't waste no time getting it done. But since then, all of this other mess has moved fast. It's one thing after the next, just pow, pow, pow. And it, basically, well, it's been a well-orchestrated plandemic. That's exactly what it's been. It's very well orchestrated. The first thing they did, and I ain't even going to back Trump, take the vaccine so you don't get sick. And people run, took the vaccine. And if you took it, great. If you didn't, great. I'm not going to let them poke me with nothing. I was like that before that come along. Because I was in the military. So I don't trust them. They done all of those things, but it's all been boom, 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 boom. And even though none of it worked, people followed right along, including myself. You know, it caught me off guard. I'm like, they shut the whole world down over the flu? You know, a super bad cold? Because I got COVID and it was bad. Had it several times since then. Well, I think I have. I've never been probed. They ain't probing me. But just ain't going to happen. I don't trust them. I'll go to the veterinarian first. and I did. I found me a frontline doctor. And I trust him. And he gave me ivermectin, which cured all my problems. So all of these things have fell right in, just boom, boom. It's been very planned. And listen, they're not done. They're a long way from being done. That's why I've been preaching and studying a lot on persecution. Listen, it's coming. They hate Christians. Although, when all of this is going on, they're going to be saying, where's the Christians? they're going to wish we hadn't left. Because there's a lot of things coming up that's not good. Now, in the last half of the tribulation, so basically you've had the Antichrist kind of movie, and the Roman Empire was more or less revived, and it's the thought pattern of it. And I'm going to be up front with you. It's Catholic Church, and they have a big role in all of this. A lot of people don't like that, but it's true. It is. The Antichrist uses them to get him to his power, and then he's going to shove them off. He don't even want them now. And then in the last half, there's going to be a lot going on. And when we read in Matthew 24, it says the Jews are fleeing. And we know it's Jews, not everybody, because we don't worry about it being on the Sabbath. They do. And it says, pray that it's not on the Sabbath. Well, that cuts me out altogether because I don't live by their rule. And so they're fleeing. What happened? The Antichrist goes in, sets himself up as God. Abomination of desolation, which it talks of in Daniel 9:27. Now, that abomination is set up, Matthew 24:15, it mentions it there. It also mentions it in Daniel 9:27, because the peace treaty is broke. Amen. Now Satan, at that time, which we discussed, has fell from heaven, and that war takes place right in here, Revelation 12. That war takes place. He's booted out of heaven. He can't go back. Now, I've told you before, as of right now, today, he is able to go to and fro. He goes up there and says, do you see what Kehlani did? That's what he does. He accuses us in front of God. Now, come to that point, he's not going to be able to go back. He's going to be really angry. He's going to enter into this fella, the Antichrist, which somebody said the other day, oh, could it be Trump? No. No. Could it be DeSantis? We're not going to know that. Besides that, we're not going to be here. So, lots of people lean on, it's going to be Obama. Nah, I don't think so. They even figure up his name because it's supposed to be 666. Well, Tony, you're in trouble. No, that's your phone number. Never mind. I don't have to worry about it because I'm not going to be here when he comes to power. I ain't looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus. I'm not worried too much about the Antichrist. I'm not going to be here to deal with it. So he's going to come in. Now, Matthew 24:16 talks about the Jews are fleeing. Now on earth, what all is going on earth? Now we're going to come back. Well, let's read 13, verse 13 of chapter 8. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." They, in other words, what we've been studying and reading has been bad. I'm not interested in it. I thought the pandemic was bad. I've seen some things in my lifetime that I thought were bad. Listen, what we've been studying and reading ain't bad. And they're fixing to see unreal stuff take place. It's straight out of sci-fi movies. And I'd say John was having a hard time putting all this together, seeing all these things when he wrote all this. Now, during this time on earth, there's going to be two witnesses. Now, don't forget, you got the 144,000 Jews who are preaching. That's how people, I believe that's the only way people are trusting the Lord. Again, they're not going to get salvation quite like we do. They're not going to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Because remember, the Holy Spirit ain't here. Now, God did seal them so they can't, none of this stuff goes on, affects these guys, but they're going to be preaching all of this time. And, how good is technology right now? Technology is pretty good. Man, you see things going on. Now, I don't know how good technology is going to be after a lot of this stuff happens. But I'm going to figure that there'll still be some satellite and, of course, heck, you can watch whatever you want on here. I mean, I've watched conspiracy stuff. Watched Clint Eastwood movie one time. All right here, it was kind of hard to. It was like, they're going to see all this. Now, there's two witnesses who are going to show up. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." Now, everybody's got ideas of who this is. We really don't know. We figure it'll be Moses. The theologians have come up with the idea. It'll be Moses and Elijah. Maybe. I've had people say, "Oh no, it'll be Enoch because Enoch didn't die." But if you go read about Enoch, that was his reward. That he should not see death. Because of his walk with the Lord for what, 300 years. He was a nut for 65 and then but it says he walked with the Lord 300 years and the Lord took him. That he should not see death. I don't think it's going to be Enoch. Enoch wasn't a real special individual as far as well known in the Bible and a lot wrote about him. Moses was. Because Moses dealt with the plagues of Egypt. Elijah was, but he called fire down from heaven and he was very outgoing. And so these two witnesses, they get into a, They start preaching, and but then they get slain. After, what is it, 42 months, they're slain. Now, I'm going to jump way ahead, but they lay in the streets, what is it, 3 days? And then, poof, they miraculously get up. People are going to see that. It's going to be like, whoa, wait a second. You know, that's pretty interesting. So there's going to be a lot going on earth that's going to open some eyes to a lot of things. You're going to have there's limited judgments on the trees, according to Revelation 8 and 7. A picture of man rising in pride, it's kind of compared to Nebuchadnezzar, compared to a great tree. The Antichrist is going to rise to the superpower that he'll be. And then we're going to go into the third supernatural warning, which is when the two witnesses rise and are caught up to heaven. Look at Revelation 11 and verse 11 and 12. It says, and after 3 days, well, here, let me go back and read 10, I think. Now, where'd I leave off at? Verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, God will. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, now I want you to think about these two guys. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. In other words, they're going to be out there witnessing. And this is modern times we're talking. It could be, well, if a rapture happened today, it could be in 3.5 years. That's pretty, I have a hard time with what I see something the other day expires 2026. And then I look at 2030. I have a hard time with that one. They're going to be, in other words, it says fire proceeded out of their mouth. So if people come and try to hurt them, you got me. What, they're going to go, and fire just going to devour? That's what I read. That's going to be pretty wild, especially in our day and time. And then it says, these have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. So it ain't going to rain for how many months is it? 42 months. Not going to rain at all on top of everything going on. All the fires, going to be a real problem. And have power over waters to turn them to blood. Now you see where Moses comes in and where Elijah comes in. Elijah dealt with the fire. Moses dealt with the blood and the waters. And to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. So for 42 months, they're going to be able to do all of this stuff. And then it says, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And of course, God allows this to happen. You got to remember, the devil just can't do things. When you read about Job, he goes up to heaven, he says, only reason Job listens to you is because you bless him. He can't touch him though, until God says, well, do what you want. You just can't kill him. That God allows it to happen. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, which also our Lord was crucified. Where's that at? Jerusalem. Oh, hang on. It's called Sodom. It's called Egypt. Egypt's a picture of the world. What's Sodom a picture of? Homosexuals. Do you know, and this is sad. I know people that's been to Israel. Did you know per capita, they are flooded with homosexuals? The place is a mess. And they wonder why God's mad at them. This is where also the Lord was crucified. And they and the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their bodies to be put in graves. That's where they go. No, you got to don't touch them. Everybody, kindreds, language, nations, is going to be able to see it. You're going to turn on Fox News. Well, if you're here. And you're going to see it. And they that dwelt upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. They're going to be happy these guys are dead who were preaching about God. They ain't happy with us because we preach about God. The one that, of course they didn't publicize this very, very little. The one that walked into the Christian school in Nashville, I think it was. It wasn't in Nashville. And I'll say it like she is. She shot up all these people in that school. She said she hated Christians. Of course, you don't see that no more. They don't want that out there. These people are going to laugh and be excited that these guys died. Now, after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them and they stood upon their feet and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Can you imagine? I mean, think about that. All of a sudden, these two guys stand up. They've watched for 3.5 days. And they stand up. And life's in them. Well, that's going to get some attention. It's bound to wake folk up. And they get another chance. There again, God still gives people chances to trust in Him. And they just won't do it. They just will not have anything to do about it. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud and their enemies beheld them. They are sitting there watching. And they still don't want to trust God. They still want to blaspheme all these problems. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Now, so, in heaven, We're seeing what's going on. And on earth, they're suffering through what's going on. That should make us, I gotta say it again, be a light to other people, to the lost. We ought to be willing to tell others about Jesus. We ought to be willing to lay a track somewhere. So that they realize, I don't want to go through this. There's warnings. Whether they'll listen or not, I don't know. They didn't listen to what's the guy that built the ark? Noah. They didn't listen to Noah. He preached 120 years and they laughed at him. Now, I got a question for you though. Lot. Abraham's nephew. Abraham's nephew went to live in Sodom and Gomorrah. Moved up in the world in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was at the gate. That meant he was on up in the city. Maybe he was pushing toward being the mayor or whatever. Maybe he was the mayor. When the angels come to get him, they said, "Do you have any other family here?" And he went to his other family and said, "Come with me. We got to get out of here. God's going to destroy the place." What did they do? They laughed at him. Now the question is, why did they laugh at him? Because he didn't set the right example to start with. We have to make sure that our testimony is what we claim. Our testimony needs to be that when we speak about God, people know we're serious. I've told you before, when people come to my house, relatives, I got relatives that don't go to church, believe that. I don't know why they were raised in church, but when they got old enough, they quit going. They know that if they come to my house, they'll either go to church with me Sunday morning or they won't be there Sunday morning. Matter of fact, I have a daughter, because she knows she's wrong. She may listen to this, get mad, but she'll get over it. She knows she ain't living right. She brings her boyfriend out here. They don't stay at my house because they know it ain't right. And they know what Dad's going to say. Dad's going to say, "No, not here, you ain't." And they don't stay at my house in case they don't want to go to church, which actually they have drove up and come to church. Because when they come out here, they like to stay downtown where all the excitement is, because they know Dad disagrees with that. So that's the kind of testimony we need to have. Lot didn't have that. Apparently, Lot really hadn't talked to any of them about it. And even if he did, he was living about the same life they were living. Maybe not quite as perverted, but nonetheless, he didn't have a whole lot to say to them because they didn't listen to him. That's sad. I don't want any of my family, if I say something to them, looking at me and saying, "Well, you don't live it." I've got some of them that think I'm crazy. "Oh, you're one of them doom and gloom preachers." No, I just preach the Word of God. Apparently, you don't read it because it's doom and gloom part of it. I mean, you know, to be truthful, well, it ain't doom and gloom if you're saved. It's going to be doom and gloom if you left here. It ain't going to be a good place to be. All right, now we got to go back. We're doing good. Where was that? Oh, we were at the whoa-whoas. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And he was saying, "Whoa, whoa, whoa," because of what was about to take place. And the fifth angel sounded, chapter 9, verse 1, "And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit." Who's got the keys? Jesus does. Now, Jesus gives him the key. Now, "And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit." What was that mount? Mount St. Helens. When it blew up there in Washington, I was living in western Colorado. I had ash a half inch deep on my vehicle. I mean, and we're what? It'd be 16-hour drive. And the sun, it was kind of dark. We had all this cloud and junk in the air. You know, I've over the years, back in when I was in the oil fields, but right after that, about 1984, some guy, they were drilling somewhere. And they claimed that they drilled so deep that they ended up in, they think they busted through the hail. By the way, the core of the earth is about 455 degrees Fahrenheit. That's hot. And it supposedly, when they busted through, it melted their pipe. Anyway, I was reading about this, and they said they could hear voices. They could hear screaming and agony. I don't know. But that's where this at. The bottomless pit has been opened, and there came out of the smoke locusts. Now, I don't believe it was locusts. I don't think John understood how to explain it, but he said it was locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. She's in there. Scorpion was in their room the other day. Needless to say, they all left. Where you at? I'm missing one. Zoe ain't here. They leave the room. Deanna's like, whoo! You know, she leaves the room. And I'm thinking, gosh, how many times bigger are we than a scorpion? So my wife, the fearless one, she goes in there with the fly swat. Boop. Done. These you ain't going to be able to kill with a fly swat. These are going to be mean. Man, they come out of there and they have power. Now, Miss Betty, bless her heart, she's in heaven now, praise the Lord. But Miss Betty said, one time a scorpion stung me on the end of my toe. She said, and I thought my head was going to pop off. Apparently, they got a lot of power. I ain't been stung by a scorpion. Ain't interested in it. They got a pretty good little stinger on them. I don't like scorpions. So I do kill them when I see them. Anyway. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. Now, locusts do that. That's what they do. They come in and they have no leader. They just in a big drove. You ever been around locusts? Man, Southeast Colorado, them nasty things would come in and they wipe out a mile of a field, square mile, just gone. I mean, they're unreal. But they've been commanded not to do that. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. In other words, they ain't going to touch 144,000. They're not going to touch anybody that has trusted God. They're going to attack these men. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Well, like I said, Miss Betty said it hit her on the toe. She said it felt like my head was going to blow off. So apparently they hurt pretty bad. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it and shall desire to die and death shall flee from them. That's sad. You desire to die, but you can't. How old was I? I was about 13, maybe 14. I was with one of my sisters. We're coming down a road, and there's a lady had rolled her car, and she was all busted up. And we stopped, and the paramedics pulled in right as we did. And they were trying to help this woman, and they were dragging her out of the car, and she was screaming, "Let me die." She couldn't die, though. She wanted to die. That was her whole life, and I never did figure out anything about her. But nonetheless, she wanted to die. This woman was screaming in agony, "I want to die." And she was saying some real foul language. And she was just wanting to die. But she couldn't. And they kept telling her, "You're going to be all right." "No, I don't want to be all right. I want to die." These people are going to want to die. They're going to be tormented, but they can't die. That's sad. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto, we got to read this. The shapes of the horses, of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. So they're huge. You ever seen a battle horse? Battle horses are big. They're not little bitty like we got. We got quarter horses. I'm a big quarter horse fan. The majority of them's about at the withers. That's right at the base of their neck where it goes into their back. They're about like that. Some of them are a little bigger. Some of them are a little shorter. And they're not battle horses. They're cattle horses. That's what they do. But I've seen the battle horses. I used to shoe some of them. They had feet. They wore a number, 3 and 4 shoe. Man, their feet were this big around. They were massive. Their backs were like this high. And unreal powerful. They pull stuff and they've used them for work horses. But that's what a lot of them guys used the draft horses for way back. They had the warm bloods and they mixed them. And then they had the Turkaners. Turkaners are like way up here. And you've got some little bitty short woman who wants to ride that thing. I mean, you got to have a stepladder to get on. You know? They're huge. So he's saying they were like horses, battle horses. And he says, where was that? Verse 7. Now, prepared for battle, these battle horses that they used in the armies back in the 14, 15, 1600s, they had spikes mounted on their armor that they wore on their legs. That was to kick people. They trained them. You ever seen the Lepizian stallions? They're pretty cool. They're awesome. They were trained, and you when you watch them, they can jump up in the air. Well, they did that so the soldier on the back could see above the battle what was going on. And then they were trained that they could use their back legs as weapons. They used their front legs as weapons, and they had spikes mounted on them so they could hit people with them. I mean, you know, I don't know. These are prepared for battle. So I'm going to say that's what they were done as. And it says, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. Strange looking beast. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. I was downtown the other day and seen a guy that fit that. No, I've seen some strange people. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings, now we got wings on them, was the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and the power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them. Now, locusts on the norm don't have that. But they had a king over them, which the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. By the way, that's more or less an angel of death. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And I've got to stop. Well, see, you can't feed the cow all the grain at once. Because then they won't come back for the rest. But you think about what's going to happen one day. One day, tonight. Now, I know people say, well, the Lord's going to rapture us out in the morning. Well, it's got to be night somewhere. You know, I mean, that's deep stuff there. But tonight, if it happens, if the rapture took place, if the Lord said, come up hither, Revelation 4, and we're out of here, who do you know that's going to be left to see all this if they live through what happens right after the rapture? Because see, the rapture, when the rapture, we tend to forget this. I told you, when I was a kid in the church I went to, just as you come in the front door, they had a poster up. It was a picture. And it always attracted me. I just stood there and I'm like, good grief. It was planes crashing, cars wrecking, had a tanker truck going down the road and it was coming off a bridge. And all these people were dying. You see, once, when the rapture happens, if they live through that, then there's going to have to be an explanation, which we already know what that's going to be. UFOs, come got them. Because now the government's saying, oh yes, we have UFOs. We ain't figured out what they are. They call them UPAs, I think is what they call them. And now they're saying, oh yes, we saw them over in Iraq. Some lieutenant or captain or whatever in the military, he followed one. And now they're trying to figure, and one guy said, well, it was a balloon. He said, well, it's a fast traveling balloon. We just let them float across the U.S. and then take them out. But anyway, if they live through the devastation from the rapture, now they're going to have to go through famines. They're going to have to go through the wars, the rumors of the wars, not knowing what's going to take place. They're going to have to go through, no doubt, communism. We're already starting to see that in our country today. And at the rate it's going, it won't be long and we will be communists. I've read the end of the book, so I know where it's going. But if they make it through that, now they got to go through what we've just been reading. And the worst, probably what we've read so far, is when the bottomless pit was opened. What's in the bottomless pit, by the way? Well, Satan ain't there yet. But he does have some angels there. There's some demons that are locked up in there. They ain't been out in a long time. Well, actually, they were locked up, what, some 6,000 years ago. Plus, you got the angels that were in the Euphrates locked up. Man, when all of these things are turned loose, they're going to, and they hate mankind. And, you know, you think about it, they've wanted to take on human bodies all their lives. Ever since they were created, they were in human bodies. And I love the story of the guy in the cemetery. You know, the Lord says, get out of it. Well, can we go get in the pigs? Well, yeah, get in the swine. And the swines had sense enough to run off the ocean. Or they just went berserk and they all drowned. These things have constantly wanted to have a body. Well, there they've got their body. It's going to have long hair. It's going to look like a horse. It's going to have a man's face. They're going to have all these weapons. They're going to be given the command, hey, you can go out and do what you want. They're going to wreak havoc. So if a person makes it through the devastation of the rapture, now they're going to have to get through the first 3.5 years, which ain't going to be easy. Then they're looking at what's coming. And we've only went through one woe. That's sad. Folks, we need to be warning people. And I know, well, I have, and they laugh at me. It don't matter. Warn them again. Tell them you don't want to be here because it's coming. And if you can't see it's coming by what we've been going through for the last 4 years, man, the world is changing quickly. And they're not, how would I say this? They're not people friendly. We think, oh, it's all these Democrats. I don't care what you want to call them. They're being run by demons, powers of the air. That's how they get all this stuff accomplished. My wife was just asking me the other day, how do they get all these things accomplished? Because Satan is given the okay. He can use his power. That's where we're heading. So we've got to be the testimonies that we should be in this world so that others will see Christ in us. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to have a verse of invitation. Brother Roger, pick us out a